better than the last.
The members please indicate their presence by voting. Representative Bryce, would you please indicate your presence? We do have a quorum present to conduct business. The invocation today will be by the Honorable Sean Parnell. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Let us pray. Lord God, we've been reminded several times this year how short life is. We remember the family and friends of Eileen McLean and Betty Cato and ask that you bring healing and comfort to those who are closest to them and to all touched by them. We take comfort in your promise to be with us through life and death. In the words of the Psalms, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. This day, O Lord, we seek not only your presence, but wisdom. Please give us discerning hearts and minds to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Representative Parnell. Representative Robinson, would you please read us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Martin.
John proudly asked that we place the prayer on the journal as unanimous consent.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Mr. Majority Leader.
Brief at ease, Madam Speaker.
I'll stand at ease. I'll stand at ease. Representative Masick, we're in order. Representative Bundy, we're in order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. May the journal reflect that no members of the, or excuse me, call of the House today.
Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative John Davies be excused from the call of the House today due to a personal emergency.
Without objection, Representative Davies will be shown as approved absence. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 110th, 111th, and 112th legislative days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House journal as certified by the Chief Clerk be approved.
Without objection, the journals will stand approved. We have guests today for introduction. Representative Robinson.
I happen to have two of my staff that are in the Pratovich Gallery today, and I don't think they've been introduced this year, so I just wanted to introduce them. And most of you know them, and start with Katarina Bennett, who was on the winning baseball team this weekend, the softball team, and then also Carla Timpone.
Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Pratovich Valley, I would like to introduce a constituent and a friend down with the American Cancer Society and a retired now, but probably one of the best pathologists the municipality of Anchorage and state of Alaska ever had. When it was my duty to participate as a law enforcement officer in autopsies, Dr. Rogers and I spent time together in circumstances that I won't tell you about, but they were very, to say the least, interesting and hard to get used to. But he is a real professional and has assisted this state in criminal investigations for years and years. It's my pleasure, and would you please help me welcome back to Juneau Dr. Don Rogers.
Further guests for introduction? Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And the Pratovich Gallery is one of the sweetest voices that's ever been used on a Juneau musical stage. Mr. Bill Gary, a constituent and friend.
Further guests for introduction? House, briefly stand at ease. Briefly back to order. It's all right. Go ahead and finish. We had scheduled this time to do photographs of the majority and minority caucuses. All the members of the majority are here right now. All the members of the minority are not, so we'll postpone the minority photograph till all of your members are here, but we'll stand at ease for a few minutes while we assemble the majority caucus for that photograph. Right here, right up here. House, stand at ease, and all the members of the majority, please come forward. House, come back to order. Wait. Bill's before you. Representative Williams.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Could we move up the introduction of guests, please?
Without objection.
Thank you. In the Taylor Gallery, we have a constituent of mine who's a new executive director of the Southeast Seniors Association out of Ketchikan, Cliff Skillings.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Under introduction of guests, I have a constituent and someone who's close enough to the hillside to almost be a constituent. A couple of teachers down visiting us today in the Paradovich Gallery. Please help me welcome Chris Scally from Denali School and Alicia Newman from Tudor School.
Further guests for introduction? Representative Roachberg.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to bring up reconsideration of House Bill 342.
Reconsideration of House Bill 342 is before us. Clerk, please read the title.
CS for House Bill 342, Resources, amended by the House Resources Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Water Quality.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to place a call on the House.
There's a call placed on the House. House, stand at ease. Representative Terrio. Mr. Sergeant at Arms, has the call been satisfied?
It has.
The call has been satisfied. Motion before the body. Representative Williams. Motion before the body is the adoption of the committee substitute for House Bill 342 under reconsideration. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. You're going to go. I would again speak against the bill. It didn't get any better over the weekend, unfortunately. Alaska does have high water quality standards now. Those have been adopted through the public process. I think we should be very cautious about a bill of this type that would call into question all of those standards across the board, regardless of their justification. We have the most productive fishery in the world, made possible in large part because of our clean water. And this bill will, I think, in the long run, jeopardize Alaska's commitment to clean water by making it the presumption that we're going to lower our water quality standards to the standards that now exist for the lower 48, where water bodies are much more polluted and where there's a great deal of industrial pollution. Madam Speaker, I will not, as I did in the last and third reading, go over all the different problems in this bill. There are a number of technical and other problems. I think the most significant problem, which I hope the sponsor can get fixed, is that the process in subsection B is not going to enable the state to make a finding that supports a different standard than the federal, and that's primarily because of this subsection C, which I don't think you can make that finding. So therefore, I think it's going to be impossible for Alaska to have any different standards than what the federal standards are. We don't really need this bill, Madam Speaker. And the other thing is, I would just note that there is now a new fiscal note on it. The department does recognize that it has fiscal impact. It's my opinion it has more fiscal impact than is now reflected in this fiscal note. But this is going to impose on an agency where we're making substantial cuts and have over the last few years a major new constant process of revising downward through the regulatory process our water quality standards. I don't think this is good legislation for the state, and that's why I'm voting no.
Madam Clerk, you read the title, did you not? The title has been read. Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker.
last Friday was a very trying session for most of us, and towards the end of that session, we were laughing at things that were not particularly funny, but what happened at that time is we were the ones that were getting kind of funny. And I walked back to my place and walked in and set my stuff down, and I was looking out the window when I heard this thought that wasn't necessarily mine saying, isn't it pleasant listening to the rain and looking at the rain hitting the window? And I looked at the sample of water that was given to us by the sponsor, and it basically said to me, do you realize how valuable I am? Can you imagine people paying $1.25 for me? Well, that's interesting. And he says, you know, that governor that you used to have, that former governor, you know, the one that's going around telling you right now that, you know, act like owners, not beggars. You know, the one that wanted to put the pipeline, water pipeline down. He says, you know, he's not that far off. And I started thinking about that. And then there was an indication that we could probably take the water from the sewage outfall of the Juneau plant here and sell it, and it would be cleaner than the water that is in most states or nations of the world. In the city and borough of Sitka, we are now selling water. Our water does not even have to be filtered, and the commodity is very, very valuable. Now, in this discussion with this bottle of water, we got into some very interesting things. And, you know, just to talk about the Asian market or Japan. Japan is very interested in resources, and water is going to be one of these. There's a lot of countries, a lot of states that are looking for a good water source. In Sitka, as I said, we have a contract now to sell water. It's a 15-year contract with escalator costs in that contract. And in analyzing, well, how did these water standards come to be in the first place by EPA? What happened is things were so obvious that there was a problem that we had to come up with some sort of water standard. We even had a river, a tributary that goes into the Mississippi River. I think it was the Cayuga. I'm not sure. It wasn't in the state of Mississippi. It was down below. That caught on fire. And the river burned and burned down some trestles, railroad trestles. That's pretty serious. Now, I grew up in northern Minnesota at the headwaters of the Mississippi, and if we were above the dam, we didn't think anything of it. We were thirsty to sit, you know, reach down and grab a handful of water and drink it. But below the dam, we would not. Every time we flushed the toilet in the town that I was from, we oftentimes thought about the people that were downstream. And by the time you got down to Minneapolis-St. Paul, I would not even want to fall into that river. So things like this have come out where they had to have some sort of standards. A lot of this was by garbage dumps, refuges. A lot of it was by farm fertilizers going into the different contributories and industry. So what they had to do is figure out a standard, water quality standard, that wouldn't cause great economic repercussions throughout the nation, and try to come up with a standard by which the present water pollution level would be acceptable, but that they shouldn't go above that. Now, in some of the Great Lakes, you are told that you should not eat the fish. And I think that we have to be careful here, because we have a resource that is something that we are going to definitely be selling. The governor before the one we have now perhaps was a little bit too much of a visionary with a water pipeline, but there are going to be things like this happening. And the quality of our water in this state, I think, is going to be a major selling asset that we have. And I think the state of Alaska should have higher standards of water quality. I remember seeing a movie, I guess it was called Space Pirates, and the whole thing was based around the sale of water. And that was the commodity that everybody was seeking. So, Madam Speaker, you know, you look at the cycle of, even when you talk about evaporation, condensation back down, that even gets into our air. What we put in the air affects the water. In Japan right now, they have what they call oxygen bars, where people go in and pay good money for a shot of oxygen. And they're buying bottle oxygen. Now, I have never, Madam Speaker, in my life drank one of these bottles of water of that nature. And I sat there and kind of thought about it, and with a twist of lemon and a few other ingredients, it wasn't too bad. But, Madam Speaker, please, this is a resource that I think we should be a little bit more careful with, because it does have value that I would say years from now that we would not even dream of what the price of good water is. They even talked about hauling icebergs to Saudi Arabia at one time. Please, let us be careful with our water. This is what we're going to be selling in the future.
Further debate? Representative Robinson?
Madam Speaker, I just wanted to request from the body, I potentially have a conflict, and would request from the body that I be allowed not to vote on this issue.
There is objection. Representative Robinson, you will be required to vote. Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I'd like to speak to my colleague's potential conflict, because I think it's a very important point. Madam Speaker, we've heard other people on this floor describe the productivity of our waters. But, Madam Speaker, I mean, productivity is the first half of the equation. The second half of the equation is marketability. Madam Speaker, there are many, many seafood companies in Alaska who promote our seafood as being from the cleanest waters on Earth, as defined by the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. Madam Speaker, that marketability and our ability to designate our waters as being that clean is very important. Madam Speaker, it's maybe even more important in the mariculture industry, in the shellfish industry, where our mariculture people are competing with people from Puget Sound and the Gulf of Mexico with a lot of the problems that they have with their water. Madam Speaker, I don't think we should begin to dribble down toward mediocrity with our water standards, because I think that that has a consequence for one of the most important industries in the state of Alaska, and I'd urge members to vote no.
Ready for the question? Representative James?
Speaker, I listened to the nice little story that we heard from the representative from Sitka, and I really enjoy every time he gets up to testify. He really creates an image that I really enjoy hearing about, and I admire his ability to do that. But, Madam Speaker, while he was speaking and the other people that I've heard speaking in opposition to this bill, it appears to me that the stage that is being set and the position that is being depicted is that those of us that would vote for this bill really want to have dirty water in this state. And Madam Speaker, I object to that opinion. I don't believe that there's any one of us in this body that would suggest that we ought to or should have or will have or we would support having those kinds of contaminations in the waters in this state. But Madam Speaker, there is an amount of reason that we have to do, and it's so simple to me that it is not fair to require those people who are working in and about water and check the water that goes back into the stream that are required to meet a standard that is much higher than the existing water before they used it. And that is the problem, Madam Speaker. We need to have reasonable regulations and reasonable approaches to be sure that we maintain our clean water. In the state, I agree with that statement. But, Madam Speaker, I would like to stand here and say that I don't believe voting for this bill is going to perpetuate any degradation of our water, our clean water that we're all so proud of. And I would urge people to vote in favor of this piece of legislation.
Representative Roakberg?
I'd like to identify myself with the remarks of the last speaker from North Pole, because that's precisely the point. Chicken Little is not about, and the sky is not falling with this bill. This is intended to benefit everybody in the state of Alaska. As we mentioned on Friday, nobody here wants to see a degradation of our water quality standards in this state. I also stand to differ with my colleague from downtown Anchorage. First, I think this is a very good bill. And secondly, it did get better over the weekend, and that's why I'd like your vote to move along to the Senate. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question being? Shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 342 under reconsideration? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
31 yeas, 8 nays.
And so committee substitute for House Bill 342 has passed the House under reconsideration. This brings us back down the calendar. The next item on today, we are at messages from the governor. Madam Clerk, do we have messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor.
Do we have messages from the other body?
There are no messages from the other body.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 136, Mandate Sale of Alaska Railroad, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 136, State Affairs, with a new title recommending do not pass Williams and Robinson. No recommendation, James, Green, Ogan, Ivan, and Porter. A fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by James. Chairman, House Bill 136 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 98, Rules, Personal Responsibility Act, recommends it be replaced with House CS for Senate Bill 98, Hess, with the same title, recommending do pass Bundy and Toohey. No recommendation, G. Davis and Roachberg, amend Bryce and Robinson. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair, CSSB 98 Rules, as a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 112, Resources, Discovery Royalty Credit, recommends it be replaced with House CS for Senate Bill 112, Resources, with the same title, recommending do pass Williams, Green, and Ogan. No recommendation, Osterman and Cott, amend Davies. The report was signed by Green, co-chair. CSSB 112, Resources, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered CS for Sponsor Substitute for S. Senate Bill 175, Finance Amended, No Frills Prison Act, recommends it be replaced with House CS for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 175, Finance, with the same title, recommending do pass Mulder, Martin, Kelly, Terrio, Coring, and Grusendorf. No recommendation, Parnell and Brown. The report was signed by Mulder, Acting Chair. CSSSB 175, Finance Amended, has no further referral. Finance Committee has considered Senate Bill 278, Credits Against Fees at State Historical Parks, recommending do pass Foster, Hanley, Mulder, Parnell, Coring, Grusendorf, Navarre, Brown, Kelly, and Terrio. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster, co-chairs. A Representative Terrio, no recommendation. Senate Bill 278 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 301, Finance Amended, Post-Secondary Education, recommending do pass Coring. No recommendation, Mulder, Martin, Parnell, and Terrio. Amend Brown. A zero fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Mulder, Acting Chair. CSSB 301, Finance Amended, has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 303, Finance, Management of Constituent Budget Reserve Fund, recommending do pass Foster, Hanley, Parnell, Coring, Grusendorf, Navarre, Kelly, and Terrio. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster, co-chairs. CSSB 303, Finance, has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 307, Finance, Dude Creek Habitat Area Land Exchange, recommending do pass Foster, Hanley, Parnell, Coring, Grusendorf, Navarre. No recommendation, Brown, Kelly, and Terrio. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster, co-chairs. CSSB 307, Finance, has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 23, State Affairs Amended, Long-Range Financial Planning, recommends it be replaced with House CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution 23, State Affairs, with the same title, recommending do pass James, Porter, Ivan, and Ogan. The report was signed by James Chairman, CSSCR 23, State Affairs Amended, as a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Do we have reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have citations or resolutions for introduction? Representative Willis.
Madam Speaker, may we have a short at ease?
I'll stand at ease. Where were we? We're going to get down the calendar. House, come to order. I I thought it was just because it was Friday last week. Do we have citations or resolutions for introduction?
Citation honoring 1996 Arctic Winter Games Team Alaska Senate District L participants by Senator Phillips and Halford, Representatives Willis, Cott, and Mulder. Honoring 1996 Arctic Winter Games Chugach Eagle River Host Society Sports Division by Senator Phillips and Halford and Representatives Willis, Cott, and Mulder. Honoring 1996 Arctic Winter Games Chugach Eagle River Host Society staff by Senator Phillips and Halford, Representatives Willis, Cott, and Mulder. Honoring 1996 Arctic Winter Games Chugach Eagle River Host Society sport committees by Senator Phillips and Halford and Representatives Willis, Cott, and Mulder. Honoring 1996 Arctic Winter Games Chugach Eagle River Host Society Protocol Division by Senator Phillips and Halford and Representatives Willis, Cott, and Mulder. Honoring 1996 Arctic Winter Games Chugach Eagle River Host Society Finance and Administration Division by Senator Phillips and Halford and Representatives Willis, Cott, and Mulder. Honoring 1996 Arctic Winter Games Chugach Eagle River Host Society Cultural Division by Senator Phillips and Halford, Representatives Willis, Cott, and Mulder. Honoring 1996 Arctic Winter Games Chugach Eagle River Host Society Village Services Division by Senator Phillips and Halford, Representatives Willis, Cott, and Mulder. Honoring 1996 Arctic Winter Games Chugach Eagle River Host Society Public Relations Division by Senator Phillips and Halford and Representatives Willis, Cott, and Mulder. In memoriam, Robert J. Piazza, PhD, by Representative Davies. In memoriam, LaRue Near, by Representative Bryce. I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction, Madam Speaker.
We have bills today for introduction?
There are no bills for introduction.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read? Representative
Ogden? With leave of the body, I'd like to roll back to introduction of guests.
Without objection?
I'd like to introduce a gentleman who has a very active interest in politics. He's in the Pradovich Gallery back here. He's a reporter with the Frontiersman, Mr. Paul Stewart.
We have further guests for introduction. Madam Clerk, would you please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 91 by Representatives Robinson and Elton, entitled An Act Amending the Area Within Designated Marine Park Units of the Alaska State Park System and Adding Marine Park Units to the Alaska State Park System. The Transportation Committee considered the bill, recommending due pass, or no recommendation, McLean, Williams, Bryce, G. Davis. A zero fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by G. Davis, Chair. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill, recommending due pass, James, Willis, and Robinson. No recommendation, Porter, Green, and Ogham. The report was signed by James, Chairman. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 91, Resources, with the new title, recommending due pass, Nikolai, Davies, Williams. No recommendation, Cott, Osterman, and Green. Amend, Ogham. The report was signed by Green, co-chair. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 91, Resources, with the new title, recommending due pass, Grusendorf, Brown, and Navarre. Do not pass, Mulder and Kelly. No recommendation, Foster, Parnell, Coring. Amend, Terrio, and Hanley. A fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster. Co-chairs, I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the Resource Committee substitute with a new title for HB 391 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Resource Committee substitute is adopted.
I'd say 391, I'm sorry, HB 91, Madam Speaker.
Without objection, the Resource Committee substitute is adopted on HB 91. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 91 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Without objection, we're in third. Would the clerk please read the title?
CS for House Bill 91, Resources, by the House Resources Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Hunting and Marine Park Units of the Alaska State Park System, Amending the Area Within Designated Marine Park Units of the Alaska State Park System, and Adding Marine Park Units to the Alaska State Park System.
Debate, Representative Robinson.
Speaker, I want to just start by thanking everyone in the body here for allowing this bill to come to the floor. And, Madam Speaker, I think kind of the uniqueness of this bill is the fact that it clearly came at the request of the citizens of Juneau. And this bill has been around since the late 80s, early 90s, when the citizens basically got together and worked out with the Department of DNR, the islands that they would like to have chosen to be part of a program that was actually started back in during the statehood, when it allowed the state to select up 400,000 acres of community for a community expansion. At that time, the state had decided to set aside a proportion of the selection for establishment of recreational areas, and this is part of that selection. And to finalize the designation, it requires legislative action. Madam Speaker, basically what this bill does is it takes these lands from the, under the division of DNR, takes it from the Lands Division and puts it under the Parks Division. Most of these islands have been traditionally, for generations after generations, have been used for recreational purposes. And because of the extreme increase in population, also because of the wonderful expansion of our tourism industry, many of these islands have started being used a lot more heavily than they have in the past. And it's actually reaching the point where self-management regarding and policies are just not working. Madam Speaker, I actually put a map, a much clearer map, on everyone's desk here. And if you were to look at it, you would see that right around the Off Bay area, when most of us drive outside of town and you come up around the Off Bay park areas, there's around four of the islands out there that are very close. They're actually sheltered in the Off Bay area, and they can be reached by either by boats or by kayaks, and even in weather conditions that are quite extreme. And those islands are Indian Island, Coghlan Island, Portland Island, Battleship Island, and Sudla Island. And then as far as north, Madam Speaker, you would find Benjamin Island. And Benjamin Island has a sea lion haul out on its west side that has been, for generations, tourists have been going out for, obviously, a wonderful tourist attraction to see these islands. The other thing that I think is really wonderful about these islands is that the existing uses that have been traditionally used for these lands, hunting, fishing, trapping, recreation, will all be allowed once these islands have been transferred over to the parks. And that I think the other thing that's very unique about this is just who all supports this. It's been supported by the Territorial Sportsmen, the Outdoor Council, the General Area State Parks Advisory Board, and Madam Speaker, that board for the last many years has gone from a board that most appointments came from a Republican governor, and then some changes were for a Democratic governor and then another Republican governor. So I think the other thing that's really quite interesting about that board is the diversity that sits on that board that has made the decision to bring these lands forward. Also, the Alaska Wilderness Recreation and Tourism Industry has also recommended that these islands go under park status. I think what people need to understand, the basic purpose of this is if you are under the Lands Division and you have critical problems out on these islands, which we are starting to take place in Juneau, a lot of trash, a lot of abuse of the wood that's out there being used, and fires being placed underneath the trees and those kinds of things, that by putting this over, and if there is a real serious problem, under the Lands Division, you actually have to go directly to the Civil Division of the Department of Law to get any kind of action, and it can be a long, costly lawsuit just to get some kind of action on what's taking place out there. Under this piece of legislation, by moving it over to the Parks Division, they have, under their statutes, very simple policing policies where they can actually go out and ticket someone who's left trash or someone who's cut down the wrong tree or someone who has built a fire underneath a tree. And the other thing that is very helpful here is that we're able to just put up very simple signage so that maybe we all think most people should know that you shouldn't leave trash behind, and most people should know that how they should treat the trees and where they should burn their fires. But this will allow us to put up very, very simple signage so that people understand that these are important pieces of very small islands out there for us, and we want them to be treated appropriately. The other thing, which I think is actually more importantly, it allows us to use the existing volunteers here in Juneau to help keep these parks clean. Right now, we, as most of you know, we have quite an extensive volunteer group of people who care about the recreational and park systems that we do have here in Juneau. And we have a group that most of you will actually even see very soon before you leave here who are planning on helping us just clean up all of our roadside areas and all of our parks through volunteers coming up here very soon just with the trash that are on the highway. These same kind of volunteers can go out into these 13 islands and help us get the trash that has accumulated out there in the last couple of years and get it cleaned up. The other thing is we have the program like SAGA, which is the Youth Conservation Program. These groups also have basically in the last couple of years helped the park system, helped the city's park system, and through youth volunteers and also through youth employment have also gone out and helped clean up the trails and helped clean up these parks. And this would also make that possible through this piece of legislation. I just kind of end with the fact that I remind people that it's been a very long time that Juneau has been requesting this. The Borough Assembly, also in your packet, is a resolution from the Juneau Borough Assembly requesting that we put these parks into designated status so that we can monitor them and make sure that they're here for generation after generation to use for the purpose that they have traditionally been used for, and that is for hunting, fishing, trapping, and recreational purposes. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Cobb.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We have a brief at ease.
House stand at ease. Back to order. Representative Cobb.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment. And, Madam Speaker, with your liberty, I will explain it to the body. On page 2 of the bill, line 6, the word commission should have read commissioner.
Without objection, we are in second reading. Representative Cott, would you place the motion?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'll move the amendment.
The technical amendment, is there any objection? Without objection, that technical amendment is adopted. We're back in third. Further debate, Representative Mulder.
I rise in opposition to this bill. I think that it's been characterized as a bill that has unanimous support in this community and in this region. I don't think that's accurate, Madam Speaker. In fact, I've heard from no less than 2 members of the Juneau Assembly who spoke to me personally about efforts to try and derail the bill because they don't think it's good legislation either. And why would that be, Madam Speaker? Look at what we're doing within this bill. We're locking up more land that will never have the opportunity or have the potential to be developed, to be looked at in any way, shape, or form for economic development within the city and borough of Juneau. I think, Madam Speaker, that that statement, that purpose is inconsistent with where the majorities of both this body and the other have been trying to take the state of Alaska, making more, you know, and that mission being, where we've tried to take people is to make more land available to create jobs, create economic opportunity, to create a stable tax base for our communities. What this bill does is totally contrary to that mission, Madam Speaker. It locks up more land forever. Not just today, not just tomorrow, forever. Why, Madam Speaker? Why? What's the urgent public need that's being met? Is there anybody proposing to mine the land? Is there anybody proposing to log that land? Madam Speaker, in the future, this land could, if it's so valuable, have the city and borough of Juneau come back to the state and offer to exchange land to take it over, to have it be part of their land that they were granted as a municipality or as a borough here. If it's so valuable, let them come back to the commission and ask for it to be exchanged with them. Otherwise, Madam Speaker, they could appeal and try and have it be brought in and sold as private land so they could actually expand the tax base. CBJ has already gotten all their land from the state. They could actually appeal to the state to try and have it turned over to private hands so they could actually expand their tax base, put more land on the tax rolls. But by locking this up, they're throwing away that opportunity, Madam Speaker. I think that's nearsighted. Madam Speaker, there are a couple islands out there that are already part of the state park system. One of them is on Shelter Island. It's been a state park for over 10 years. We've listened to the sponsors say, well, you know, we want to turn these into parks, and then the park department's going to put up some signs and say, don't litter here, and they're going to put up some nice park benches, and they're going to put some docks in so people can use these islands. Say, what a nice park we have. Madam Speaker, there are existing park lands on these islands that for 10 years have never had a sign developed, put up. They've never had park benches put out there. They don't have docking facilities put out there. But suddenly, because we're going to create these islands, they're going to jump in and do this. They don't have the funds to develop the lands for tourism, for opportunities to access of the lands they already have. Why do we believe that the Parks Department is going to make these islands any more accessible than the ones that currently exist? The truth is, Madam Speaker, they aren't. They're not. All it is going to be a private playground for the privileged few who've got a boat who can currently access it. That's all it is. They're not going to make it any more accessible. Madam Speaker, I believe this bill takes away economic opportunity in the future. I think it closes off these islands for any possible future consideration. And I just personally disagree with locking up more land. I urge a no vote.
Representative Ogun.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have to associate myself with the comments of the previous speaker. I've spoken with several longtime residents in Juneau who oppose this. I believe the Tariel, there was a couple of groups that representative from Juneau mentioned that supported it. I believe the provisions in that bill that they support are the portions that protect hunting, fishing, and trapping rights, which I do commend the author of the bill to make sure that those are included. However, it's not enough for me to buy into it. There is a land shortage in Juneau, folks. We all experience that when we try to rent houses. We hear all the time that you know, the price of lots and the premium on lands is really incredible. 3 years ago to this date, almost, if not today, maybe tomorrow, I had the privilege of spending a week in the San Juan Islands on a 65-foot schooner. And it was a beautiful place. For those who don't know where the San Juan Islands are, they're outside of, they're in northern Washington in Puget Sound. And it was, I was enchanted by the lifestyle of cruising around those islands. The boat itself was enchanting, but we got off in several places, and that those people have a really, really wonderful place to live. It's a wonderful lifestyle, and to me, there's no better use for land than to put into private residences and homes and whatnot. And this bill closes that off forever. And again, Juneau could expand its tax base. The citizens could possibly, at some point in the future, decide that some sort of private ferry system or some sort of way to get in and out of there would be an appropriate avenue for transportation there. So I just urge the members to really think seriously. Also, we have how many millions of acres? In excess of 40 million acres in this state in parks. And do we need more? I wouldn't have a problem if we identified a couple islands that possibly can't be used for future development, or a few areas on some of the larger islands that would be good anchorages and provide nice parks. That's what the San Juans have done. They're adequately planned. There's places you can go out there. They have whole harbors that have moorage out there for boats. They have we actually pulled our 65-foot yacht that drives 12 feet of water right up to the docks and get out and walk on shore. It's really quite beautiful, and I envision something like that for these islands off there. And if you share that vision, I ask you to vote against this bill. Thank you.
Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I rise to disassociate myself with the remarks of the two previous speakers. Madam Speaker, I have been affiliated with this bill in different ways for the last several years. And Madam Speaker, I would want to speak to the issue of what it is that the Juneau community may or may not want. Madam Speaker, I can tell the Juneau Assembly, I wish everything that we did in this body or that the Assembly did in its body was by unanimous decision. It's not often that way, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, when I was a teen, which is more years ago than I want to confess on the floor of this house, I fished off those islands. I've hunted off Shelter Island. Madam Speaker, I just want to point out that the ultimate lockup is a private beach where I can no longer have a picnic. The ultimate lockup is not access to some of these areas that Juneau residents have used for decades. Madam Speaker, I also want to let the members of this body know that there are plenty of islands, Horse and Colt Island, Shelter Island, that have private homes. We're not excluding private homes from some of these islands. And we've heard how expensive lots are. I can tell you that oceanfront lots, whether they're on the road system or on the islands, are very expensive. We're not going to be doing anything to ease the housing crunch in Juneau by changing the status of these islands in the manner proposed by this bill. Madam Speaker, I think that we have done many things on this floor, some of them even this year, that have preserved options for, as was noted by a previous speaker, the privileged few. Those privileged few at times have been duck hunters. Those privileged few's at times have been people who want to go out and observe wildlife. Madam Speaker, I grew up in this community drinking powdered milk. I was not one of the privileged few. And yet I enjoyed those islands. Not as a member of the privileged few, but as a teen who wanted to have something to do during the summertime or when I got out of school. I fished off those islands, Madam Speaker, in a 16-foot boat that my parents probably wouldn't want me to go out on if they knew I was on it. What we're doing is not doing something for the privileged few, Madam Speaker. What we're doing is we're preserving options for everybody. And I would encourage members to vote yes on this bill.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just a couple of comments. The argument made on housing shortage and land shortage, as the previous member mentioned, you shouldn't mix the two up. There is a housing shortage in this town. More housing is needed. There is no shortage of remote land that's private land available for farther out sort of housing. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of acres around Juneau, mostly Gold Belt land, that is being contemplated or in the midst of development plans. None of that directly affects, though, the need for housing accessible to town, which is, of course, the issue that most people face. And, Madam Speaker, that the argument presented early by the member from Muldoon about the privileged few getting there, Madam Speaker, that was a canned speech one could apply to any park. The idea that somehow in this particular town, this particular area, the privileged few who have a boat is almost comical. You wouldn't believe how many people have boats in this town. It's incredible, ranging from big sailboats, big motorboats, down to little putt-putts that are worth a couple hundred dollars at most. It is not the privileged few in this town who've got boats. I've got loads and loads of friends who've got boats who can barely afford cars. It does not take much to have a boat in this town. For a relatively small amount, certainly less than the amount for a car, you can go out and get a boat, visit these areas. I don't know where he got that concept from and whether there were just no particulars in any of that relates to this area. If you're against parks and you believe all those arguments that parks are always bad, then you'd certainly want to vote against this. But if you believe there is a place for parks where there's high recreation interest, where it serves community needs, if you think there's a purpose for a state park system, which we do have, then I'd urge members to vote yes.
Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Very briefly, I think perhaps the representative from Juneau that spoke just prior to the previous speaker is missing the point. If you voted against this bill, that land would be available to visit, as it has been for years and years and years, and will then continue to be for years and years and years. If we establish it as a park, I would just ask members to remember what happened to federal parks in a budget crunch this last year. They were closed. As I recall, people were arrested for trespassing on them. Those are the kinds of things that can happen when you formalize, notwithstanding the bad idea about setting aside even more land, which on a previous issue we discussed on the floor of the House recently, many acres in the state are already in that situation. I don't really think we need more, and I would certainly recommend a no vote on this bill.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to call the House.
There's a call placed on the House. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise to speak in favor of the bill. I think what this does is recognize that these islands have a high public use and interest. And setting them aside in the parks is not going to mean that they're going to be shut down. These are low-maintenance parks. What that means is that the public is allowed to use them, and they go out and use them, and the parks doesn't have to. In fact, when the original marine parks were put in place, one of the ways that they were authorized was by allowing that they were not going to be something that would require a lot of maintenance and monies being spent on them by the legislature. They're low maintenance, the public has use to them, and if you try to do anything else with these islands, I can tell you that the community and all of the public would come up in arms over it. These are recognized by the community and by visitors to this community as very high public use areas. And regardless, I think, of concerns about it being shut down or them being used and put on the tax rolls, they're not going to be put in private hands, nor should they be put in private hands. That would be a terrible waste of what is a common property resource that is currently owned and used by all Alaskans. And in other areas of the state, we have seen, I think, some very valuable treasures that have either gone to other uses or in some cases into private hands, which should have been reserved for public use. That's what these islands should be used for. I encourage you to vote in favor of it. It will not require an increase in the budget or shutting them down. And Madam Speaker, I think that the community members that I have talked to, both on the Assembly and otherwise, are very much in favor of these islands being set aside, and I would encourage members to vote in favor of it.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. Since the call has not been satisfied, I guess I'll speak upon this subject. I was somewhat interested in remarks by the representative from District 23 and then followed by the representative from, I guess, the Mat-Su area, using the term forever and forever and forever. And I think that's putting a lot of emphasis as well as strange powers in the hands of a legislative body with a single piece of legislation. Nothing is forever, only unless the majority of the people that are dealing with it feels that it should be forever. It was mentioned that two members of the sitting borough of Juneau Assembly did not support this concept. Well, what happened to the other five? And as long as this bounces of this way, it could be forever and forever, or maybe the legislative body, for some strange reason, may find that certain park designations is not to the best interest of the state. I can't imagine how that could occur, but maybe certain areas we may see this in the future. There's one island out there that I have personal interest in now. I guess it's Benjamin Island. I'm really interested in Benjamin Island, and they tell me that it's a sea lion haul-out. Do I have to declare a conflict of interest, Madam Speaker, on this? Has the call been satisfied, Madam Speaker?
No, it has not.
Okay. I lift the call, so I'll sit down.
The call has been lifted.
I'll lift the call, Madam Speaker.
The call has been lifted.
Okay, the call has been lifted. Right. Madam Speaker, I think that by voting for this, we'll do no harm other than what the people of this community seem to think is in their best interest at this time. Thank you.
Call has been lifted. Is there further debate? Representative Robinson?
Very brief, and just 2 points I want to make is, one, for people to realize, I mean, we're talking about a whole land mass of about 8 miles. It's from here about to the airport is the amount of land that we're talking about. And when you really look at the map here, you'll see, I mean, we have, you know, one island, Bird Island. Believe me, it's about the size of a bird's eye, Gull Island, which is not much larger. And most of these are extremely small islands, accessible by boat right near the shores. And I, too, had to laugh just regarding the fact that these are marine islands. Face it, the only way you're going to get to them, unless you manage to get zapped there, is going to be by either kayaking or boating. No planes are going to land on these islands. So I think that's the only way we plan to get to these islands, unless someone actually wants to swim, and it may be a little dangerous. So I just really hope that everyone will keep in mind that even the Borough Assembly passed a resolution in which everyone voted yes on this when they passed, and I have not been notified that anybody's had a problem since there, and appreciate your support. Thank you.
You ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 91? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
25 yeas, 13 nays.
And so committee substitute for House Bill 91 has passed the House. House, briefly stand at ease. House, come to order. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
CS for Senate Bill 86, Finance by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Issuance of Commemorative Gold Rush Motor Vehicle License Plates. The Transportation Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass. Massick, Bryce, Sanders, Williams, G. Davis. No recommendation, Long. The report was signed by G. Davis, Chair. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86, Finance, with a new title, technical title change, recommending do pass. Foster, Martin, Coring, Mulder, and Kelly. No recommendation, Grusendorf. Oh, and Hanley, no recommendation. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster, co-chairs. I have one House Committee Substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the House Finance Committee substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the House Finance Committee substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86, Finance, be considered engrossed, advance third reading, and place in final passage.
There is objection. House committees. Without objection, we're in third. Would the clerk please read the title?
House Committee Substitute for Senate for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86, Finance, by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Issuance of Commemorative Gold Rush Motor Vehicle License Plates and Providing for an Effective Date.
Debate? Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Representative Martin? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
33 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, committee substitute for Senate Bill 86 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader, effective date?
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86, Finance, be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Representative Mulder.
Chair wishes to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on HB 91.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on 91. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Bill 168 by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee by request, entitled An Act Relating to Financial Institutions.
Debate?
I need to read the committee.
Oh, please.
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass. Roquebrook, Elton, Porter, Sanders, and Cott. No recommendation, Cabina. The report was signed by Cott, Chairman. The Finance Committee referral was waived. I have no committee substitute or amendments on my desk.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 168 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place in final passage.
Without objection, we're in third. Clerk, please read the title.
Senate Bill 168 by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee by request, entitled An Act Relating to Financial Institutions.
Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In essence, this is a good bill. I would ask my colleagues to support it. But beyond that, Congress recently, I'm sure everybody is aware, passed and the President signed into law what's known as the Regal-Neal Interstate Banking Act. And the act greatly expands the ability of banks to engage in interstate banking and interstate branching. And at the same time, the act provides for a number of options to individual states. And these options must be acted upon by January 1st, 1997. In essence, the state of Alaska passed a banking revision statute a couple years ago anticipating what Congress was planning on doing. So we're way ahead of the game as far as what we've done in this state as compared to other states. But there were three minor areas that we still need to tweak, Madam Speaker. And those three areas deal with, first, it permits Alaska banks to become agents of outside banks. And this is highly desirable, since outside banks will be moving into local markets. Local banks with fewer resources will be placed at a disadvantage. And if we include this provision, we'll level the playing field. Second, Madam Speaker, it establishes a cap of 50% of deposits that can be acquired from any bank coming into the state. So again, that protects our local competition within the state banking system. And finally, Madam Speaker, the bill permits the department to enter into agreements with other states insofar as exchanging information. And while the other states' banking units start to encroach, if you will, on our state, I think it's imperative that the division have the opportunity to go beyond our borders and consult with the other states and to receive any kind of information that may be desired from our perspective. So, Madam Speaker, those are the three provisions of the bill. Again, it's more or less just a cleanup bill, something that was not addressed in the previous revision of the banking code, and I would urge my colleagues to support the bill.
Representative Bundy?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just a question for the previous speaker. I'm wondering if you could tell me how this bill might impact banks in Arkansas and the possibility that any former governors there might get involved in illegal activities at banks.
Representative Cott?
Discuss that with him on a private basis.
Further debate on Senate Bill 168. Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Senate Bill 168? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
35 yeas, 0 nays.
And so Senate Bill 168 has passed the House. House stand at ease. Back to order. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
CS for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 181, financed by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Tourist-Oriented Directional Signs that are 90 inches in width and 18 inches in height, and to penalties for violations related to outdoor advertising. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Martin and Coring, do not pass Brown, no recommendation Parnell, Rusendorf, Kelly, Terrio, and Hanley, amend Foster and Mulder. A fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster co-chairs. I have amendments on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Clerk, please read the first amendment.
Amendment number 1 by Representative Brown, beginning page 1, lines 2 and 3.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 1.
Objection. There is objection. Representative Brown.
Thank you. This amendment number 1 would delete the section 5 from the bill, which relates to the penalties for violation of the outdoor advertising provisions of state law. Right now, this is a misdemeanor, and this bill changes it to a violation. If we adopt this amendment, there just won't be any change in the law on that point. It will remain a misdemeanor. If a person is convicted of a misdemeanor for the same offense more than one time, Madam Speaker, then the penalties and the fines would escalate. But repeated violations don't have that feature, and the person would still just get the same fine. We are, I believe, if we adopt this amendment, weakening the ability of DOT to enforce this provision of the law. We did have some discussion of this in committee. People said, well, DOT would be better able to enforce it because they could just have a fine, but I believe they are able to enforce it now, right now, under the current law, using the fines, and that this does keep some teeth in the law should we have somebody who is a repeat offender or who's deliberately going out and using signs improperly in violation of this law. I'd also just like to note for the body that this section covers more than just the outdoor advertising law. This is also the part of the law that covers our campaign signs. So I would suggest we're all in a conflict here, except those of us who aren't running, by weakening this law that applies to our own activities.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would have to disagree with the previous speaker. I believe that this bill strengthens the penalties under existing law. Existing law, a violation of these outdoor advertising along rights-of-way is a misdemeanor punishable by a fine not to exceed $500. The proposed statute before us would change it to a violation punishable by a fine of not less than $10, I believe, and not more than $1,000. So it doubles the possible fine that is available. And, Madam Speaker, violation of a court order or a court injunction is a misdemeanor already and would continue to be, so I fail to see where repeat violations is really an issue here, because it quickly escalates into a serious offense that goes beyond the penalty provided for under existing statute for violation of an outdoor advertising law.
Further debate on amendment number one? House stand at ease. Further debate on amendment number one? There's no further debate, or are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number one? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
8 yeas, 26 nays.
And so amendment number one fails to pass the House. Does the clerk have further amendments?
Amendment number two by Representative Brown, beginning page 3, line 10.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. I move amendment number two.
There is objection. Representative Brown.
Madam Speaker, this amendment would keep billboards or these directional tourist signs off of private lands where they are most difficult to regulate. And as the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities noted in their fiscal note, there are difficulties in maintaining, erecting, controlling outdoor advertising on private lands. They said here, to our knowledge, no other state places official directional signs on private property because of these difficulties. Several states have warned against this. And I think, would do is still allow the expansion of signs, but not have them be on private land where there will be more difficulties for the department in controlling this. And again, why does this matter? Well, right now, people can already get these directional signs. We're going to have an expansion of this, and I guess as we go through, we'll get into what more of the issues are with this bill, but generally, we're going to be having many more signs, and that is a concern for people who care about the beauty, scenic beauty of Alaska's highways.
Further debate on amendment number two. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, I really believe this amendment is completely unnecessary and, of course, counter to the intent of the bill. We have to remember that we're talking about highways here, and the nominal right-of-way width of a highway in the state of Alaska is 400 feet, 200 feet either side of center line. We're talking about an advertisement here on a piece of material no higher than 18 inches. Now, Madam Speaker, the practicality of private land being suitable to be used under this bill is going to be minimal. There are only certain highways, secondary highways in Alaska, where this would be applicable. And in those cases, Madam Speaker, a lot of the secondary roads in Alaska are based on easements and other right-of-ways where the state is currently using its right-of-way. There is little or no public lands available off to the side of the center line, and this is a case where private property would have to be utilized to advertise in what I'd have to characterize as a rather innocuous manner.
Further debate, are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number two? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
8 yeas, 28 nays.
And so amendment number two fails to pass the House. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number three by Representative Brown to page 3, line 10.
Representative Brown.
Move amendment number three.
There is objection. Representative Brown.
Amendment number three would insert the words by the department on line 10 of page 3 of the bill. Right now, it's unclear in here who is going to determine which of these unzoned areas are commercial or industrial. And this makes it clear that it will be the department making that determination.
Is there objection? Is the objection maintained?
Yes,
Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, I would like to clarify that this is kind of counter to debate that we frequently hear from the previous speaker. This amendment would prohibit a person from going to court in a dispute with the agency and getting a court to rule that, yes, that this particular use fell under the statute, because we are eliminating the possibility of another agency, such as a court, to make a determination. So it becomes extremely bureaucratic with no course of appeal.
Further debate? Representative Brown?
Well, Madam Speaker, I guess I don't see it that way. I think this bill does intend that the department be in control of this program. It's just not, you know, we know that zoning occurs by local governments, but who is going to step in a comparable situation and determine what it is when you're outside of a local government? And I don't see this as having any effect on people's ability to appeal to the courts if they feel their rights have not or have been violated or not upheld under this law. I think this is a clarification.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 27 nays.
And so Amendment Number 3 fails to pass the House. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 4 to page 3, lines 20 through 21.
Representative Brown?
I move Amendment Number 4.
There is objection. Representative Brown?
Thank you. This amendment would delete the sentence saying that these signs are going to be done in a manner that maintains the quality of scenic areas and just say we're not going to permit the placement of directional signs in scenic areas. This is a very vague standard here, and it's not at all clear how they're going to manage the situation. We had a lot of discussion in committee about the kinds of situations that might come up, but I think that it would be best, if we are concerned about maintaining scenic areas, to just give direction not to put signs there that would detract from the scenic areas, which the department would determine.
Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to say that I think there's this really splitting a hair here between existing wording, which allows the department to control signage in areas determined to be scenic. The proposed amendment would allow the department to avoid responsibility for making a decision on whether signage was allowed by simply declaring an area scenic. Then all signage would automatically be disallowed. There would be no appeal, no ruling. Madam Speaker, the wording it is now allows the department to control signs in those areas determined to be scenic areas, but it makes the department make a case-by-case determination. The proposed amendment would allow the department to make a carte blanche ruling that there will be no signs in this area. And Madam Speaker, I don't believe that's what we'd like to accomplish. I urge the members to vote no.
Ready for the question? Representative Finkelstein?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, either version allows the department to make a decision. The determination of whether it's a scenic area or controlling location is both a discretionary decision. The question is, what emphasis do we want to place? Do we want to say that the scenic portions of our highway system, the outstanding features that bring people to travel in our state, are something that we should try to protect or not? That's all that this amendment does.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 4? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
7 yeas, 30 nays.
And so Amendment Number 4 has failed to pass the House. Does the clerk have further amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 181 Finance be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place in final passage.
There is objection. The clerk, please prepare the board. Motion before the body is the advancement to third. House standing please. Is the objection to advancing maintained? Without objection, we're in third. Would the clerk please read the title?
Yes. Response or substitute for Senate Bill 181, financed by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Tourist-Oriented Directional Signs That Are 90 Inches in Width and 18 Inches in Height, and to Penalties for Violations Related to Outdoor Advertising.
Under debate, Representative Toohey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
I've been waiting all morning to do this. You will notice in front of you, Madam Speaker, this lovely blue and white sign. I would like to state, first of all, that I have a conflict of interest because I do have a sign, a Todd sign, and I've had one for 7 years. It has been very beneficial to me. This is putting, thank you, ladies, if you put it up a little bit. Thank you. This approximately.
Mr. Minority Leader, you are out of order.
No, I think this is out of order. I want to
Mr.
raise
Minority
out of
Leader,
order.
You are out of order. Representative Toohey has the floor.
I waited to be recognized.
Representative Toohey, continue.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. As I said, I would like to state a conflict of interest, as I am an owner of a Todd sign. I am an owner of a small business in Girdwood. This sign, this bill will be putting into regulations, into statute, the allowability of the DOT to make these signs available to direct tourist tourist-oriented businesses. It is very important. The state spends millions of dollars a year, Madam Speaker, to invite people to our beautiful state. We want to keep it beautiful. We want to keep the signs uniform, but we also want to direct people to the businesses that are off-road. It is very important. There are businesses that are 10, 5, 10, 7, 8, 12 miles off the road. There are small businesses. They have absolutely no way of advertising to the point where they can call in the traffic that they need to keep afloat. This is a very important, very regulated. This keeps the regulations within the DOT. This does not change the regulations. It just makes it, puts it into statute and allows this to follow the federal guidelines. Thank you.
Further debate? Mr. Minority Leader?
I rise to a point of personal privilege.
Your point, Representative?
My point is that
I rose
only to be recognized because
you
I
were
think
not recognized, Mr. Minority Leader.
You ruled me out of order before I even had a chance to
you
be recognized.
You were not recognized, Mr. Minority Leader.
Am I recognized now? Can
you
I state my personal privilege?
You are recognized now.
I think it is totally inappropriate to bring props on this floor. I happen to agree with this bill. I support the bill, but if it's going to be open season for anybody to bring props on this floor, I think is inappropriate. That was my point of order I wished to raise, and I was being respectful to the speaker by not coming out and saying anything, and I was asking to be recognized. And that was all.
When members of this body have asked and requested that they be allowed to bring a prop on the floor, that's an individual request to the speaker, and I have either said yes or no. In the case of the whatever it was called, Imhoff Cone the other night, I said yes. In the case of the signs that will illustrate what we're talking about in this bill today, I said yes. All requests for props on this floor will be a matter decided individually by the speaker.
Well, I think it would be good to have some courtesy to at least share that with other members that we are going to do something like that. Otherwise, I could see the day that we're going to start bringing out Ross Perot charts and all kinds of things, and I think that's inappropriate behavior on this floor of the House.
Further debate? You ready for the question? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm going to vote no on this bill for several reasons. I feel that it will degrade the quality of our view shed along Alaska's highways and the scenic beauty that we have. This is how a great many tourists see our state, and I think we have to be extremely cautious about changing the system that we have now. I think this bill is unnecessary because businesses can currently get these so-called TODs or the tourist-oriented directional signs. I think the problem in this bill is going to be very difficult for DOT to control it. And I just point you to the language that starts in on page 3 of line 7. The department shall erect or permit the erection of directional signs for traveler-oriented services within and outside of rights-of-ways on all these roads in zoned industrial or unzoned areas determined to be commercial or industrial areas. So it's a pretty much of a mandatory thing that we're telling the department here. They shall allow these signs to be presumably wherever somebody wants to put one, including outside the right-of-way and including on private land, and those things are not allowed now, is my understanding, under the TODS program. So it's going to, I believe, result in many more signs than we have today, and I think, you know, what the sponsor or the person that's carrying this bill said, well, she had a sign and it was working very well, and I think that's true. That program has been in the pilot stage, and it is a good program, and we do need to have signs that help direct visitors to places, but I think it's going to be very hard for the department, as they indicated in the backup material here, to control it because of the mandatory nature here. And how many signs will each individual business get to have, and what are tourist-oriented directional signs? Who can qualify for one of these signs? I think there's the potential, Madam Speaker, to get many, many more signs than we presently have. And I think about having driven on highways in the lower 48 where you see those signs that say so many miles to this hot dog stand, and then you drive a little bit longer and there's a, you know, now it's only so many miles less to it. And so you keep having a series of staggered signs leading up to a single business. If every business chose to do that, that would certainly be degrading to our highway view shed. And I just don't believe it's necessary or tightly controlled enough in this bill that I could support it.
Representative Toohey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. As the DOT's regulations stand now, there are only so many signs within so many feet of an intersection that is absolute in stature, that you cannot have signs along the highway outside of the intersection. You are allowed so many signs per stanchion. It costs $700 per person that's on the sign. This is what we paid each one of us that is on the sign now. We were told exactly where you could put the sign, exactly how you put the cement in. Everything is controlled to the nth degree because the DOT is so so concerned with the view shed of the highways. Thank you.
Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of the bill. Madam Speaker, I have an area, represent an area of the state that has a lot of small businesses along the highway that are having a very rough time, to be honest, of making it. And if you're not familiar with the state, and you're coming in a motor home, you're just driving from Anchorage down to these other areas, you don't know where places are at. And, I mean, I understand this desire for the view shed, and I think what this bill has done is taken a much more conservative approach than a previous bill passed this body a number of years ago that would have allowed huge signs, very big signs about there. You know, I don't see this as getting out of hand. I see it as a way to help businesses in the rural areas that need to get some kind of forewarned notice that their businesses are there, that they're going to have things that tourists would want to stop at. And I tell you, Madam Speaker, a lot of these businesses are going out of business. It's very rough when you have a four-month window out there, and we're trying to get more of these businesses to open, stay open all year long, so those of us that are in the state all year long have lodges, et cetera, to stop at on the way to break up these long drives and for safety reasons. So the more businesses we can get to stay in business out there, I think the better off all of us are. If this gets out of hand, I mean, then I think we have the ability to relook at it in the future. But I think for the sake of those businesses, we should support this bill and urge everybody to vote so.
Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I, too, rise in support of this bill. I think that I supported this issue the last time it came before us. I think that the small business people in the state are severely disadvantaged by not having the opportunity to advertise their businesses. If you're not able to afford prime real estate right on a highway somewhere where you have the ability to, for people driving by to see your business, then you are at a disadvantage. And as is happening all across the state right now, lots of bed and breakfast type businesses are coming up, lots of mom and pop type tourism operations. And without the ability to inform people about it, there is really no other way. And it works as a disadvantage to the small business people and has a huge advantage to those that can afford property right on a road system. So I think that the way this bill is drafted, that there is controls, it does allow for some consistency in terms of the size of the signs. You're not going to see big McDonald's arches and all kinds of things all cluttering up our highways. You're going to see very well done, much like that beautiful sign that was just displayed, will be alongside, will be put alongside the road, we'll have some consistency and we'll work to the advantage of businesses. So I urge members to vote yes. I just seen if you're listening, then.
Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I do support this bill in light of the fact that one of the areas in North Slope will be opening up to the public. Many people are not aware of some of the dangers that they will be facing when they get on up to the North Slope. I think I'm hoping that this bill would provide some of the information, some of the objections that people of the North Slope and have and against opening up the Dalton Highway. And since it's already going to open, I think this bill will be the best vehicle for information to provide to a lot of people that have absolutely no idea what kind of country they're getting into, especially in the middle of the winter.
Representative Vogan.
Madam Speaker, I'm rising in support of the bill. The sponsor of the bill and myself both represent one of the most beautiful drives in Alaska, and this certainly isn't a billboard. I know that's debatable. That's debatable. A lot of people are going, what? No, mine. But truly, we share many beautiful drives in Alaska, and as a representative in that area, I don't think this is going to take away from the scenery, and I believe it will help the small businesses, so I support it. Thanks.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. May the journal please reflect that Representative Kelly is excused from the call of the House Mayor of the day due to illness.
Representative Kelly will be shown as excused. Further debate?
Madam.
Representative Willis?
Oh, well, I'll yield to.
Representative James?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to rise quickly to indicate my support for this piece of legislation as well. And it's interesting, the argument as to whether or not we want more signs or less signs, and we forget just exactly what these signs are for. And we're saying that they're for these people who have businesses for tourists to find them. Madam Speaker, this is a tourist bill. In fact, it is in speaking to tourists that I have over the last few years, it's very distressing to them that they can't find things and that there is a lack of identification and direction as to where they can go things. And our roads are so long, if they've gone by a place, they won't be able to go back and do it again because they've missed it because there wasn't any sign. Madam Speaker, this is one of the best things I think we've done for the tourist business, and I think that the fears that we've heard expressed on this floor are not really fears. They are just fears. The fear that's worst one is fear of fear itself, so I think that's what this is.
Representative Willis?
Madam Speaker, I recall, that is, if my memory serves me correctly, that several years ago we did pass a bill similar to this. I really haven't heard the differences between this bill and the bill that was passed two or three years ago. I do remember, I believe that I did vote for that bill, and as I recall, the then governor vetoed it after receiving a lot of adverse reaction from it. And that's my memory of it. I might be slightly off on that. So I guess what I want to know from the person that's carrying the bill, what